Get ready to join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829-623-1889 or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the radio program Focus on God's Word. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Pastor Anthony Clark, and I thank God for this opportunity and privilege whereby we can enter into your homes, your cars, wherever you're picking up this program today and share with you the living Word of God. Just before we get into the ministry of the Word, we just want to take time off and share some basic information with you about ourselves. I am Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministries, and we are located at 159 Eastern Main Road in Barataria. Our services are every Tuesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m., every Friday evening from 7:15 to 8:30 p.m., and every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. So if you have been listening to the program and it's a blessing to you and you want to come and visit us and fellowship with us in one of our live services, you can come any day on, you can come any Tuesday between 12 to 1. We have a midday Bible study. You live in the Barataria area, or you are a retiree and you're at home and you want to come out. You don't go to evening services in your church, but you don't mind. This is coming to a midday. You can get transport and come. Then we are there every Friday. We have ministry from 7:15 to 8:30 and every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Now, if you're interested in connecting with us, you can call us at any of these two numbers, 623-1889 or 746-0829. So let me give you this number again, 746-0829. Call us, connect with us. We'd be glad to respond to your need. Also, check us out on our website. You can go to fogwm.org. That stands for Focus on God's Word Ministry.org. And all the radio programs that we have done, it's there. From 2000, I think, and 10 or 11 to present, and they are categorized, so you can go in there and study different series with me and learn from God's Word. Amen? Now, we want to continue a study we began, and the name of the study is Misconception About Prayer, and the foundation for it is found in James 4 and verse 3. In James 4 verse 3, the Bible says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss." Why? That you may consume it upon your lust. So the Bible reveals to us that we can ask and we can receive. But sometimes when we ask, we do not receive. And the Bible says one of the reasons why, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why we ask amiss. And really thinking about it, it may be the only reasons. It's just that there may be some sub things or some sub points to support this reason. So he says, "You ask and receive not." Why? Because you ask amiss. Now we have to pay attention to what it means to ask amiss. Asking amiss doesn't mean that what I'm asking for is wrong. What it means is that I may be asking in an improper manner or wrongly, or my motive for asking may be wrong. For example, in this same verse, the Bible says that they asked amiss because they wanted to consume it upon their own lust. Now, you would be asking God for something and you may not want it to consume it upon lust. However, you really wanted to meet a legitimate need. But the reality is, you can, even though you're asking for the right thing, you may ask for it with the wrong motive, or you may ask for it improperly. You see, because there are guidelines that govern prayer. So we were looking at these misconceptions about prayer so that we we could eliminate some of the bad practices we have where prayer is concerned. We establish in our study that it is the will of God to answer our prayer. The Bible's God, our Father, is a prayer answering God. We establish that. Then we begin to deal with this concept of one of the misconceptions people think relative to prayer is this, that they need to end every prayer with the statement, if it be your will. And that is wrong. You are not supposed to end every prayer with the statement, if it be your will. If you're going to end the prayer with the statement, asking God, you know, I want you to do this for me if it be your will, and do that for me if it be your will, you are telling your Heavenly Father, you're not sure before you pray, what is his will? And because you're not sure what is his will, you have no guarantee that he is going to give you your petition. I said something in closing, and I want to repeat what I said. I said in closing, I put it this way. What is one of the benefits of knowing the will of God before you pray? Because 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. So what is one of the benefits of knowing the will of God before you pray? It is this, that upon request, I will not be denied. When I know that the thing I want is the same thing God wants for me, and the thing God wants for me is the same thing I want, I know that I'm praying in the will of God. And once I'm praying in the will of God, I will not be denied. So knowing the will of God put me in a position that upon request, I cannot be denied. However, when you are always, the misconception of always saying, if it be your will, means that you're not sure it's his will, so there's a possibility that you can be denied. And that is a misconception we have to deal with. The will of God must be known before request. Now, there's a portion of scripture I don't have in my notes, but it's in my spirit. And let me see if I can find it here. 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 1. And let me see. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. In reference to this whole misconception, because you must know the will of God before you pray. And here's what it says. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, pay attention to part A of this verse. Part A of this verse says, for all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in him amen. The word amen means so be it. So if all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and it is also amen, so be it. It means that whatever God has said yes to, he cannot now say no to. I want to take my time and say that again. If all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Christ are amen, it means this, that everything God has said yes to, he cannot now turn around and say no to. So that means that I can know God's yes before I pray. Oh, wow. I hope you get that. You can know God's yes before you pray, because all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. So you can know before you pray. So adding the phrase, if it be your will, when you pray or every time you pray, is a misconception in prayer. And yet I meet plenty of people who pray like that and say, well, you know, you're not sure what God is going to do. Well, read your Bible. If you read your Bible, it will tell you what he has done. It will tell you what he is going to do. And it will inform you. It will renew your mind. And if you don't read the Bible, you will not know what he has done. You will not know what he is going to do. So listen. I don't know who this just came up in my spirit. You're listening to the program and y'all are struggling to have children. You're married, you're Christian, you're struggling. And you begin to, and because you have been struggling, you have begun to question the will of God. Is it God's will that we have children? I am telling you it is God's will, because the word of God says that he will make woman a joyful mother of children. You see, and what God says for one in principle, he has to do for all in principle. Okay, so the problem is you have to settle the will of God. That is what happened with the guy who was leprous. When he came, he said, Lord, you can heal me if it be your will. And Jesus responded and said, I will, and then laid hands on him. Listen to me. Whatever God has said yes to, he cannot turn around and say no to relative to the promises in Christ, okay? Therefore, that's why I don't agree with the statement that sometimes God answers yes, sometimes he say no, and sometimes he say wait. You cannot throw that statement out and leave it unqualified. What are you referring to when you say sometimes he answers yes, sometimes he answers no, sometimes he answers wait? When you say that, you have to qualify that statement. You can't just say that as a statement and leave it in a discussion, because all the promises of God in him are yes, not no, not wait, not yes, no, and wait. Not, you understand me? It is not that. It is yes. It is not no and wait. So therefore, when you say sometimes God answer yes, sometimes God answer no, sometimes God answers wait, you have to qualify that. Don't just throw that out. And I've seen people just throw that out. Well, you know, it is sometimes God answer yes, sometimes God answer no, sometimes God answer wait. And you leave people confused. No. Our job is not to confuse people. Our job is to help people. You live better with God through information. So you have to qualify that statement. So ending your prayer with the phrase, if it be your will, is not necessarily a phrase that should be used when you are praying. That is not the way to pray. That is a misconception. And you may want to study it more on yourself, by yourself. Don't just take what I have said and run with it. I encourage you, get into your Bible, take out a notepad, take out a pen or a pencil, and begin to go through the gospel, begin to go through the epistles, begin to pay attention to the word of God and what Christ has done and what Christ has promised and so forth. And then from there, you can come up with your analysis as to, I don't have to end my prayer with the phrase, if it be your will. And then again, even going back to 1 John 5, look at verse 15, it says, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, he says, we know that we have. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have. Whoa, the petition that we desire of him. When do we know that we have it? When we ask. How do we ask? Go back now to verse 14. If we ask anything according to his will. So if you're asking according to his will, the Bible says you know you have what you ask. So you don't have to end your prayer with the phrase, if it be your will. Now, I spent plenty of time on this, but maybe we needed to clear it up. Now, let me see if I can spend some time on the next misconception. This one is a biggie. All right, here we go. Always asking God to cleanse us from sin before we ask for anything of him. Oh, Lord. Always asking God to cleanse us from sin before we ask anything of him. This is a next misconception in prayer, that in order to get results, you have to ask God. When you go to pray, before you pray for anything, you have to ask God to forgive you and to cleanse you, because you're not supposed to come into his presence in an unclean manner. Put it this way, you mustn't have sin in your life. Well, let me drop a bombshell on you. Every preacher, every apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, including myself, we all have sin in our life. Say, Pastor, what you saying? The Bible says in the book of James, he that knoweth to do right and do it not, to him it is sin. We know to do right with many things and we miss it. Why? Because this physical body we live in cannot be sanctified. It is not righteous. Your spirit is righteous. That is why the Bible says the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. You will never, ever, ever get perfection in the flesh. However, you can live holy. But what we do in Christianity is, instead of teaching holiness as a root, we try and teach holiness as a fruit. And that is where we have some problems, because the fruit is a result of the root. The root makes you what you are. The fruit is just a manifestation of what you are. So I live holy because I am holy. I don't live holy to become holy. I hope you're getting where I'm coming from. So when we have this misconception that we are never holy, we're never righteous, we're never right with God, so therefore, whenever I come into the presence of God, if I want God to answer my prayer, I have to confess and make sure that there is no sin in my life, and then God deals with me. But let's think about that. Then I can comfortably petition God. But let's think about that statement. Who is judging whether you have sin in you or not? Is it you or God? It has to be you, because you're the one going to be confessing this, confessing that, and asking the Lord to cleanse you before you start to pray. And what I know, people teach that strong. You know, people teach, you know, when you come into the presence of the Lord, you need to this and that and the other. So you could imagine somebody is dying. You know that if you use the name of Jesus, the person would live. You have seconds just to speak that name over them. And you say, Father, cleanse me before I speak. And by the time you say, cleanse me, the person dies. You understand where I'm coming from? No. That is why you find scripture verse that says, come boldly onto the throne of grace, because we have problems in doing that. So, but let's stick here. Now, let me share with you an experience I had in the local church I passed through years ago. One of my brothers, he really wasn't into sin or anything like that. He had a beautiful relationship, and the person went away to study, and he was missing that young lady. And he ended up at the altar, just was crying, you know, Lord, I'm missing her, and the Lord strengthening him and so forth. And a senior lady walked up to him and saw him crying at the altar and laid her hands on him and said, be a David and not a Saul. Be a David and not a Saul. And I began to laugh, because she is thinking, based on Psalm 51, that something is wrong with him, and what he has to do at the altar is repent. And we normally associate repentance with tears, but the Bible doesn't associate repentance with tears. That is why when I make altar calls sometimes and people don't understand and people crying at the altar, that doesn't necessarily mean they repent, eh? Because the word repent means to change the way you think. Okay, that may be a sign of of being remorseful for something. You know you did something wrong, but that doesn't mean they repent. But that's a whole different lesson. So the person saying, be a David and not a Saul. Now, I want to look at being a David, because this is where a lot of people, I don't want to say it, but a lot of people, they will tell you this is what David did in his approach to God. And it's taken from Psalm 51. Verse 1 into 12. I may not go a whole expository study of verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4 to 12, but I want to bring out some things here. First of all, it says in Psalm 51, verse 1, it says David is going into prayer, and this is how he begins his prayer. And this is after his acceptance of his wrongdoing with Bathsheba. Okay, he goes to God in prayer after Nathan the prophet has put him on the carpet. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercies. Now here, David, blot out my transgression. Verse 2, David says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, after Nathan got on him. He said, and my sin is ever before me. Okay, verse 4. He said, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 5. Behold, he said, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He said in verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Verse 7, purge me now with hyssop, and I shall be cleansed. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 8, make me to be clean. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Now, you read it, but I want to come into verse 10. In verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy. End up reading it, the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So David is talking about all this stuff, all right, in reference to his sin. And people have taken that pattern and apply it to us today. That if somebody like David, a man after God's own heart, can go into the presence of God, and before he could access God's hands, he has to get himself clean. What make you feel we are different? I submit to you, we are 100 times different than David. And here's why I'm saying that. The covenant David functioned under and the covenant we function under is not the same. Look at this verse of scripture. We're coming back to this. Look at this verse of scripture. John chapter 1 and look at verse 17. There are two different covenants. John 1 verse 17. And I'm pulling this out of its context. So to get its context, you'll have to read from verse 12 to 17. But for the sake of time, I'm just pulling it out. It says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible here defines two different things. One, it defined Moses bringing the law. Two, it defined Jesus bringing grace and truth. Well, grace and truth is one and the same. If you're going to get truth, you're going to have grace. And if you have grace, you will have truth. But notice both of them brought something different to the human race. Moses brought the law to the children of Israel. Jesus brought grace and truth to the children of Israel, and by extension, the body of Christ, because Jesus came to establish his church, which is his body, okay? But okay, so that's a different lesson, but you understand where I'm coming from. Now, David functioning under that which Moses gave the children of Israel in their relationship with God, there were some things in that we have today that David didn't have. Number one, David was not born again. Number two, David did not have a redeemer who took his sins. Number three, God was not living in David. Under the old covenant, the Spirit of God never lived in anyone, even though David said, take not away your Holy Spirit from me. You see, what it means is that functioning under the old covenant, prayer was done in a particular manner. And I plan to come and do a study on the Lord's Prayer, because some of the things in the Lord's Prayer is not applicable to us today, but we will deal with that. Now, don't turn off your radio. Don't say, what is this young preacher talking about? Don't turn off. It is possible that I may just know a little more than you. It is possible. That is why maybe God raised me up to teach. It's just that possible. So don't take it off. All right, flow with me, flow with me. Open your Bible, take notes, call them up, check up the website. You'll get your answers, okay? So it is different. Two different covenants. One is the covenant of law. One is the covenant of grace. Now, you have to understand that based on that old covenant, David related to God in a particular manner. And in that manner, he had a right to ask God to cleanse him. So let's go back now to Psalm 51. He had a right to everything he requested, he had a right to say. And David knew he had to say it because he operated under an old covenant. David had to say, create in me a clean heart. This is Psalm 51, verse 10. David had to say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, because he was not born again. He never had a right spirit. Amen. His perfection or acceptance came by him keeping the covenant. You getting where I'm coming from? It is similar to the rich ruler who met Jesus, and he asked Jesus, what do I have to do to obtain eternal life? And Jesus went through a list of things, and he said, all these have I done from my youth. So in what he is saying is, the way I obtained eternal life is by this performance. I did all these from my youth, so therefore I qualify. And Jesus said, well, you lack one thing. Sell what you have, give to the poor, come follow me. And the Bible says he left being grieved because he had great possessions, okay? So that's a different covenant. That covenant, acceptance, wasn't based on the belief of Jesus' finished work. Acceptance was based on performance. But under the new covenant, it's different. So under David's covenant that he was functioning on, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. But you know what? This is going real good. I'm enjoying it, but we are running out of time. I have to stop here. I'm Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministry. It has certainly been a joy sharing God's Word with you. I want you to tune in next week as we want to continue this study on misconception about prayer. We have a whole list of misconceptions to go through that would aid you in your prayer time with God. But we want to hear from you. Give us a call. Call us at 746-0829, 747-8611, 687-8611. And somebody would be there to connect with you and to pray with you and to minister to you. So call us at 746-0829 or 687-8611. Then we want to give you an opportunity to sow generously into the ministry. It takes money to be on the air. And some of you have been sowing religiously, and we thank you. We pray with you. We believe God for the corresponding return on your seed sown in Jesus' name. So we want to give you an opportunity. You have been listening. You are blessed by what you are hearing. It's helping you grow. It's renewing your mind. You can send an offering to us by going to any First Citizen branch and give a generous financial one-time gift, or become a partner with the radio ministry and give a $20 every month. Or as the Lord prosper you, you come up with a figure. It could be 50, it could be 100, it could be 200, it could be 1,000, whatever the Lord lead you to do, and partner with the ministry. But go to any First Citizen branch and sow a generous financial seed into Focus on God's Word Radio Ministry account. The account number is 175-8015. Call us at 746-0829. Let us know that you have sown so we can pray with you and agree with you for your corresponding return. Tune in next week. We want to continue the study. I believe this is going to be a good study, and we'll continue to study why David prayed the way he prayed, and do we have to pray this way when we pray today? Remember, the Bible says the people that do know their God, they shall be strong. So don't seek to be strong. Seek to know God. Be with you next week. Stay blessed.
Join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829, 623-1889, or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.